You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I've been waiting 40 years for this.
They called themselves Ghostbusters.
According to these hacks, they saved the world. No eyewitnesses.
And who is found to carry the torch?
Descendants of Egon Spengler. You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle, firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
It has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Right. Well, overruled.
Sustained.
Thank you.
You the weird guy who buys strange old things?
Correct on both counts.
Buddy, you just hit the jackpot.
What is it?
Better question is, what's inside of it?
The parables tell of an unimaginable evil commanding an army of ghosts.
With the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
We might be looking at a second Ice Age.
We're gonna need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
Can I be of any help?
Melnitz in uniform!
Yes!
If there's something strange, if there's something weird, who are people gonna call?
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
We're the Ghostbusters. Can I tell you something else?
What?
Buster makes me feel good. Makes me feel good.
Yes, that's right. Hello, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. I'm just grooving out to a little bit of Ghostbusters, and you know, who are you going to call? My God, hello, Peter. How are you going?
I'm good, Dion. How are you going?
Oh, good. I don't even know if you could hear the Ghostbusters theme that's playing in the background,
but I'm
sure everyone else is.
I had no idea what was happening there. I probably just looked like really blank because I did not know what was going on.
Sure. I'm having a fun time jamming to Ghostbusters because Ghostbusters makes me feel good. Does Bustin make you feel good, Peter?
I mean, sure.
Sure. Why not? We can just go with that one there. We can put that one away for a little bit. And how was everyone in the chat today? I think everyone is there. Hello, you're all there getting ready for stuff in there. And we are going to talk about Ghostbusters, The Frozen Empire. The Frozen Empire. No, just Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Because, Peter, you have seen it, and I have seen it, and no one else has seen it because they're all too busy with fun and exciting lives, aren't they?
Fun and exciting. I was too busy with fun and exciting lives to go to the press screening. So I paid full price to see it in VMAX on the weekend.
Right. Okay. Excellent. I'm very happy that you got to go and see that, and I'll reserve my judgment for that for a little bit later.
I was going to say, the question is, am I happy that I did that?
Yeah, well, we'll get into that.
The answer is coming.
Oh, come on. Like, everyone is excited about this. Like, you know, everyone loves the Ghostbusters. It's a giant nostalgia hit. Ghostbusters Afterlife wasn't a bad film. I quite enjoyed that one. So when this one came out, like, with that trailer and the stuff going on, I was like, I'm excited for this. They've got people back. I like these characters. This could be fun. This looks interesting. Maybe it could be spooky. There's some nostalgia. And now, I don't know.
Dion has opinions.
I do. I know. It's opinions.
Wait, before we get into your opinions, yes. Tell me,
sure.
Because I know we discussed this with our previous Ghostbusters chats, but for anybody who's not familiar with the team's history with Ghostbusters,
yes,
tell me about your history with Ghostbusters. Like, what level of like shits do you give about this?
Look, I mean, unfortunately, I will have to defer to Quinny on this, and he is gutted. I just want to put that out there straight away. Like, he is gutted he couldn't be here for this one, and I am gutted that he couldn't be here for this one because he is the guy that is the Ghostbuster sort of thing. I have fond memories of the 1980s Ghostbusters. Controversially, I like Ghostbusters 2, like, as well. Like, people are like, Ghostbusters, and then Ghostbusters 2 isn't as good. And I'm like, I don't know, I kind of like Ghostbusters 2. I like Viggo the Carpathian. I think that that was a cool villain. And then, you know, there was the 2016 Ghostbusters, which was, you know, like, it did things. Some parts of it were great and other parts of it were just terrible. And I was very reticent with the whole Ghostbusters Afterlife. And then I really kind of enjoyed it. And I thought it was very sweet and a little bit, you know, kind of what we're after, because it really established a new era of people involved with it. It really established a new kind of group of Ghostbusters while having a little nod towards the past. And now I have opinions about this one, which is very difficult to do when you're trying to be spoiler-free. And I know that there are people who haven't seen it who's in the chat and that's out there, and I'm going to really try to just keep this one pretty even-keeled until we get into the spoilery section. What about you, Pete? You're a big fan of the cartoon, I know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had all the toys.
I mean, I'm kind of Ghostbusters agnostic because, you know, the early films, the first films were like a little bit too early for me to have seen them when they were a thing. So I've kind of seen them at some point, but they're not a nostalgia thing for me.
Yeah.
Particularly. 2016 movie, I agree. There were some great things yeah. about it and some less great things about it. Also yeah. really enjoyed the reboot of this franchise. So I was kind sure. of excited, you know, to see this as a movie, but not in like a deeply care about it way, in a, like, this could be yeah. an entertaining cinema experience kind of way.
And, you know, it kind of is. Like, I was watching that trailer again as the star was rolling through, and I'm like, yeah, there's actually a lot of fun stuff in there. Like, there's a lot of jokes and there's a lot of good things in there. Which feels bad because when I was watching, I'm like, oh, they put all the best bits in the trailer. Oh, okay. And then they kind of, how they tied that together is polarizing, as I'd say. I've had many discussions with different sorts of people about it. And it's kind of one of those things, you either fall into can be or can't be. There's people who really liked it and thought it was fun. And then there's people who go, that's not a really good movie kind of thing, or it's a bit soulless. I think that was kind of the best thing that came out of it. Someone just kind of went, this is just content. Like, you know, one of the worst opinions, like, it's just content. No, it's like, it's hard to fault the logic there because it does feel at times just content. The machine needs to be fed. But also in there, there's some great fun stuff. And then there's some other stuff that they shy away from, which detract from the whole thing. And then there's other stuff which is kind of like, you didn't need to put that in there. That's completely unnecessary. Wait, is this two movies?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
There are a lot of characters to track in this one, even more than the first one.
Yeah.
And I like them all. I like all of the characters, sure. but we're kind of edging into, should this be a TV series if we're going to track all of these characters?
Yeah.
Kind of territory. Like, I like all of the characters. Like, let's explore all of them. But it's a lot for a 90-minute film.
Yeah, you've got the Spenglers and you've got
long it is.
The Spenglers, the new Spengler clan, and with the Gruberson, with Gary Gruberson and the new Spenglers round out what was great from Ghostbusters Afterlife, which is a whole new generation. And then you've literally got every single remaining Ghostbuster that is around and keeps jumping in, including people from the first Ghostbusters film that keep showing up. And you know what? I thought I was going to be like, oh, yay, that's the guy from The Thing. And then I kept watching it going, yeah, why?
But then you've also got several new characters.
Yeah.
That come in as well. And you know what? All of them are fun. I didn't, well, most of them are fun.
Are they though?
Most of them are fun. You know, I enjoyed most of the people on screen. I really liked the dynamic, the family dynamic, which is one of the things I really liked in the first one. Particularly at the at the beginning of this, you kind of, you know, they set that kind of nice comedy within the dynamic of the family members, which, you know, does feel a little bit like the the dynamic within the original team, that that, you know, particular style of comedy. And there was something really nice about that and the way it was set up. And I think that that is the strength here. And there was, you know, there was a lot of that, but there was also a lot of other things.
Sure.
There were a lot of things.
Should I give an attempt to give this a synopsis? Because this
give
is
it a synopsis.
Of,
let's, you know.
This is a synopsis that's out there, and it seems to be what the most persistent synopsis, and I feel like it's the worst synopsis. But, you know, we love reading out things. But, you know, it should always be a thing. What shit accent should we do? I'm nowhere near Quinny. Please don't, like, think I'm never going to get anywhere near that. But vote now for shit accent. And I will do the synopsis as soon as we get around to it, while I probably key up the Ghostbusters theme again, because why wouldn't you? Because this was the best song that ever came out of it. Who should I go for? I don't really know. There wasn't really a lot of shit accents in there, was there?
No, they're all like just pretty standard American accent. I can't.
Pretty standard American accent. Hello, the girls. What about old timey radio? No. I should. I'll just do it as Janine. There we go. How's that? I'll give it a crack. I'm going to do it as that. The Spengler family returns to the iconic New York City firehouse, where the original Ghostbusters have taken ghostbusting to the new level. When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must unite to protect their home and save the world from a second Ice Age. What do you want? There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Not a great synopsis. I don't feel like that's what the movie was about.
No,
but, you know,
exactly. Synopsis completed. Good. I can tick that one off now. Look, you know, it was always going to be one of those ones at the end of Afterlife. You knew that they were going to return to New York City because they gave you that whole kind of thing. And I really liked in the start of this one that they drop you straight into it, is that they've moved now from the middle of nowhere, flyover America, back to the roots of New York City. But it still felt very kind of slapdash and... it isn't fancy. And this is the thing. This is the stuff that got very weird. Like at the end of Afterlife, we find out that Ernie Hudson's character, Quinny's rolling in his grave. He's not even in a grave. Winston, that's right. Sorry. Winston has made a shit ton of money and, you know, has all of this, is sort of a philanthropist now. And then when you find the Ghostbusters, they're still doing it on the skin of their teeth and there's no money around and all that kind of stuff. But is there? Because it's kind of like there are two ghostbusting sides in this, which we don't find out, it's a slight spoiler, but you don't find out till later that there's like the old firehouse ghostbusting type, which is the Spengler family doing it, you know, still driving around in the shitty car and chasing people down the streets with the old proton packs. And then you kind of find out there's a whole philanthropic side to ghostbusting. And it's like, why is there this divide? There is no reason for that to have happened. And if you're going to do that and create like old Ghostbusters and new Ghostbusters, it feels very strange.
Well, particularly when they're kind of linked. Yeah. I mean, you're jumping into some early but whys here.
There's so many but whys. This whole film is a but why. There's just... Everything is a but why in this. And but you know one of the things that I thought would be a but why, I'll get into this now, which in the end didn't become a but why for me, was Kumail Nanjiani's character. I thought I would dislike intently because I thought,
how could you think that?
I know. Well, how could you think that this person has been just shoved into a lot of stuff because they're kind of funny, but in this one he's great. I really liked this character.
Yeah.
Like, as
I enjoyed his character a lot.
Yeah. As in terms of someone that has just kind of been thrown in there, it's like, oh, that's very weird. But, you know, I was quite excited by the start of this too, because it set up this real, did you find that at the start, the opening scene, like that cold open that they did, which was when, you know, we're finding out that it's kind of scary. It was in that kind of thing. And it's set up like at one of those old gothic horror kind of bits. Like it had a bit of the tension that you expect from the old Ghostbusters, which is like, is this going to be scary? Am I going to have a jump scare in this film? And I think they set it up really well because it was great. That opening scene where they all kind of get frozen for that Explorers Club. And I was just so disappointed that it wasn't carried through. It's so annoying. It played it too safe, which was kind of frustrating.
I mean, there were definitely moments in there where I was like, this is too scary for my nephew.
Yeah.
But he gets scared by some episodes of Octonauts, so it's not really like a good scale necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of that thing. You know, what's great about the 1984 one, you know, it starts off quirky and then it has the librarian lady, which just terrifies the fuck out of people. And that's good. In this one, it kind of starts like it's alluding to it's going to be like that. And I feel like it, the entire movie is backing away from stuff, which I thought was its biggest downfall is it feels like every time that they were going to go harder towards that kind of a thing, it eased off, but not in a kind of building tension way. It's kind of foot off the throttle and everything slows down because of it. And then therefore, you know, you finished the race, but you didn't win the race.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? The film felt like its goal was to get to the finish line, not potentially crash out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that metaphor making sense to you? Does that work?
Yeah. It kind of works.
Yeah.
Well, it's so hard to kind of discuss the plot points, and keep it, you know, very very clean of any spoilers, because I know that, you know, people like our Quinny who love Ghostbusters very much do not want to at all be spoiled by anything. But I think like we go into detail about the way some of the plot unfolds would be where I've got some sticking points in terms of like, well, there's a thing that happened for plot.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice.
And that's okay. Look, for somebody who's got like no skin in the game on Ghostbusters, it doesn't hit any nostalgia buttons for me at all. So really I'm just in there for an entertaining film.
Yeah.
There was a lot of it that was an entertaining film. And I think in the context of some of the films I've seen recently, I wouldn't say don't bother going to the movies to see this film, because, you know, it is like an entertaining, you know, popcorn, you know, sit there with a popcorn and watch on the big screen and have a mild chuckle at something sometimes. There are some things in it that I really liked. So I do have a lot of but-whys, I don't necessarily know that we're watching Ghostbusters films for strong logic links.
What are you talking about?
I do have a lot of but-whys. There were definitely a lot of plot points that happened for plot, and there were too many characters.
Yeah.
Not to say that I didn't like the characters, but there were too many characters.
Yeah, part of the problem is because this film is trying to service the new generation as well as pay fan service to the old generation, that is a lot of Ghostbusters and a lot of people who are involved with it, which may, like, what's the roster that we're, I'm just trying to think about all the people that are in it. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, like kind of not all main characters, but at least 10 kind of main characters and 5 supporting characters who are all competing for time on screen. And we haven't even got to the ghosts yet.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of characters to chuck at the screen. And, you know, whereas that works for Game of Thrones because you've got endless seasons and an hour long and you can develop characters, unless you've established those characters and people are already going along with them, no one's really going to care. And that's where I feel like it kind of lost its way a lot, because I was here for the ghosts as well, and there weren't really any good ghosts. Which is strange.
I was there for the family. You know, it's that, like, the formula, the Ghostbusters formula is a team of four. So I was kind of expecting to be focused on that team of four.
Yeah.
For this film.
Yeah. And that's the kind of, like, that's the kind of thing where it starts to get a little bit muddled, because it kind of does focus on that family and it establishes what they're going through. But then it deviates in other ways, where you start going, well, who is this movie about, and why is the family not the central focus of it anymore? And which is annoying, because they're really good.
Mm.
Like, I wanted to see this. You know, I wanted to see, I was interested in the family. They had some good character development. I feel like Finn Wolfhard was criminally underused, because he did a good job with what he had. I liked
him. He really, really did.
He's good.
His timing is great. Like,
yep.
Bit of a chuckle.
You know, look, McKenna Grace is still good. I think she was written poorly.
There was a lot of making plot happening, particularly with her character, and a lot of me being like, maybe I'm getting too old for this, because, like, I know teenagers make dumb decisions, but like, holy shit. Come on.
Yeah, I'll get into this one too. This was kind of one of those things in the spoilery section where everyone was very frustrated with, in that kind of sense. Like, you established people in the, like, you established McKenna's character, Phoebe, in the first one, and that was enough. In this one, it seemed needlessly complicated for whatever reason. But hey, that's part of growing up. And I like how they did more with, like, Callie and Gary's relationship felt natural. And even the reintroduction of some of the older, like the other Ghostbusters, felt fine. But then it added more people on that side, which was like, okay, this is getting very complicated now. Who are we supposed to follow? Everyone's disparate. And then it sort of felt like you could have a whole movie on each of those groups and you would have been okay. Allowing a bit more time for some ghosts. I mean, you know, who's your fan favorite that we remember from the first Ghostbusters? Slimer. Who does he get matched up with? He gets matched up with Finn Wolfhard's character. You know, he gets matched up with Trevor. And the whole time, they're useless. Like, they just don't do anything. They're just there to interact. They don't really have any good lines or any good development. And then it just moves on. And you're kind of like, this was just a shame.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there is an element of setup there. We'll talk about that in spoiler as well. But it did kind of feel like there was, you know, a lot of comic relief there and nothing that was particularly driving the plot.
Yeah. I mean, look, I have a few narrative issues too, which I would like to get to. But can we? It's not really.
Well, okay. Well. Do we have anything else non-spoilery to say about it? For me, the question was, am I happy that I spent $40 to go and see it at the cinema?
Jesus. cost
well, you know, by the time you buy your popcorn.
Cause he lives, Peter. Cause he lives.
You know, $30-something dollars for a ticket to VMAX.
You could have spent, you know, the same amount of money on maybe a quarter of your groceries or less, maybe a sixth.
Right.
You know,
I am not super happy that I would have been more than happy to wait for this to come out on streaming, or, you know, like a lower cost streaming rental, possibly, because I'm not a Ghostbusters person. So this wasn't really a rush to the cinema to see kind of thing for me anyway. And also.
So I'm guessing you don't want your Ghostbusters pin that I picked up for you that I was going to give you.
I'd take a thing. I'd give it to Quinny though, because he's the Ghostbusters guy.
Don't worry, Quinny's got enough.
For me, I would have been perfectly happy to watch this on streaming. Like, this wouldn't be a rush out to see it at the cinema.
For you.
You know, kind of movie for me. And I saw it in VMAX because I thought it would be like a good, you know, VMAX experience. But, you know, it was fine. It doesn't have to be. It's not like, it's not a must.
It felt like it wanted to be. There's a lot of kind of setup for things like this is going to be very iconic. Like, think of New York freezing, like all that kind of stuff. There's that chase of that kind of Chinese dragon ghost thing that is in the trailer. That's not a spoiler. You know, it feels like it's that way. But I have to say, I 100% agree with you. Like, people have asked me about it, and they were like, I was like, well, do you want to know, or, you know, what are you gonna do? And they're like, no, just tell me, should I go and see it in the cinema, or should I wait for streaming? And I was like, well, gotta say, you'd be okay waiting for streaming. Like, there's no real rush to go out and see it. There's nothing to see it on the big screen for. So it's just kind of like, and that is part of the problem that I have with it. So do you want to give it a rating, Pete, and then we'll do a, like, have you got anything else you want to say? I mean, can I just be kind before we go into the ratings and then jumping off? It does look fantastic. As I said, everyone involved with it really knows their character, knows how that character fits in the universe. So that works really well. Like, there's no human character in it that doesn't match with the world that they've created. I didn't come across as any of that. It was really nice to see people coming back in, like, what's his name? Peck, Walter Peck, who was reprising his role from the first one, which is hilarious because when you think back about it, Walter Peck was the asshole government bureaucrat. And what was his job? He was in the EPA. He was just concerned about unregulated dumping of toxic waste in a city place. Like, that's not a bad job to have. And now as the mayor, he's worried about wholesale property destruction and an underage girl being employed against labor laws. Like, you know, I kind of like that they did that. At no point in this is he the bad guy, really, but they still make him out to be the bad guy. So that was kind of funny. It was nice to see, there was a moment in it where I thought this whole movie was going to turn to the scarier, and I was really there for it, which I'll get into in spoilers. So, like, there were moments of it when I was really good. And, yeah, I really like, you know, this addition of a different character into it that showed a different side. And I feel like it was had a lot of nods to the cartoon, which was really interesting too. So, like, there's a lot going for it. But, it's complicated.
It's complicated. It's less complicated for me because...
Yeah.
I, you know.
I mean, can I say, would you go out and buy a proton pack and get a jumpsuit and roll around, you know, a convention in a Ghostbusters outfit?
Absolutely not.
Wow, you're going to be real disappointed with later this year then. That's right. We're going to a convention all dressed as ghosts, but no, we're not. Like, I can't commit to that. Who's got the money for that? I couldn't afford one of those proton packs. My quick review of that is I'm going to give it 65. No, fuck it, 70. Like, there was some...
It's funny because it feels like it angered you more than me, and I was going to give it 70.
Well, see, this is the interesting thing.
Maybe I'll give it 72 just so I can, like, stay a little bit above you.
Can you just make my math easier, please, Pete?
75.
Thank you. That's at least a round number.
Because I really did.
I'm scrambling for a pen. Keep talking.
There was entertainment there. I was entertained and I wasn't angered by any of the issues the way I was angered by the last thing that we spoke about. And if I had just watched it as a streaming film, I would have been perfectly happy. Forking out to see it at the cinema, a little bit annoying. But you know, as what I was looking for, which was just movie magic entertainment, fine.
Like,
and some bits really enjoyable. And a lot of the performances really enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, do you want to know the crazy, stupid metric that I have when I go and see films, especially ones that are like preview screenings or press screenings and stuff like that? All right. I just have this strange thing that's in my head and it seems to just consistently be okay. So maybe it's more, you know, it's causation. What's the phrase? Fuck. I don't know. It's that research phrase. I've forgotten. Why is everything going blank today? Where if you turn up and there is plenty of shit there and lots of food and the booze is free, it's a high likelihood that the movie's terrible. Whereas the best movies that I've gone and seen are basically like, here is a bottle of water, get in the cinema. And you're like, oh, okay, fine. This is all I get. And then you walk in, you're like, wow, that movie's fucking amazing. And you come out and go, this doesn't need anything. So yes, thank you, Predakanga. Causation does not equal correlation. That's what I was going for with that. But that's all I know. Usually when I go in and there's like, oh, it's like this, and here's a free gift, and here's a themed drink, and you want a water bottle? Here's a bag for you. I was like, look at this. We've got all this stuff over here, and there's a band playing, and there's fireworks going, and I'm like, oh, dear. This is an oh, dear moment. Yeah. And while I very much enjoyed going to the Sony premiere, I was like, thank you, Sony, it was also, yeah, I just sat down going, oh, please don't suck. But I did laugh a bit.
You know, no, you know what? I'm really feeling 72. I'm sorry. It's not 75. I'm feeling 72. Fuck. You'll just have to deal with the math.
Carry the one.
Why do you have to do the math immediately? It's not like we ever announced the average.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's all fine. Okay. We'll go to a clip. I'm trying to figure out which one to go for because they're both kind of funny and I feel like I don't want to spoil one. Actually, I might go and do the mini puffed one because that is the weaker of the two jokes that come through. There's a whole other sort of clip that came out, but I really kind of enjoyed the bad kind of dad joke that was in that. If you haven't gone and seen Ghostbusters and you don't want to know about all of the spoilery bits, please just log off now and go and watch it and then come back and watch the rest of it or listen to the rest of it now. But if you don't care about spoilers or you've already seen it, you want to know why it made me angry in a little way, stick around after this.
What are you doing?
It's a nightmare. Ray smuggled them back from Somerville. I'm pretty sure they're mating.
It's disgusting.
Okay, let me get the spoilery logo up. It's up there now. Ready for the butt why moments?
Can I just say?
Yeah, go for it. Hit me.
Skybeam.
I know. Giant fucking skybeams again are coming to destroy us all. Look,
do you think they just copy and paste the same one?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same file. There's like probably a whole.
Is this a Skybeam file on some computer in a studio?
You work in media. Have you just tried typing in Skybeam into a list of suppliers and you get a bunch of them that come back and like, we'll do the best Skybeam you've ever had. It's going to destroy what? A city? A town? A planet? We've got one. You know, which size do you want? Okay. So all I'm going to say is, you know, The first 84 Ghostbusters had Gozer, great villain, has two devil dog kind of things, amazing. This is all there. Second one, I think it's a high point. Viggo the Carpathian, he's also a high-level villain, really like him. But, you know, some people find it, you know, polarizing. Then the 2016 one, terrible, terrible villain, you know, just basically an online troll who gets full of hate. That's pretty dull.
I mean, that was saying something.
Yeah, I mean, it was saying something, but it was also a terrible villain because no one cared in the end because there was no menace, you see. And then Ghostbusters Afterlife, Gozer coming back, fine. I appreciate that. Also, you know, a pit of hell that looks like demons are coming out of it. Great. This is a good thing. And a creepy old guy in a casket. I'm fine with that, you know. And also the dogs are back. You know, great. This one, what looked like it could be a terrifying villain, very fucking dull.
Very slow moving.
Very slow moving villain.
Just going to wander over there real slowly, give you heaps of time to prepare.
As someone who was in a movie about an Arctic blast, I understand the creeping dread of cold as it slowly moves its way across things. And, you know, it was just, this was a bad villain. Especially considering that the premise of the entire movie seemed to be based around what I thought was going to be the big twist of it, which was the containment unit that was under the firehouse was in danger of breaking down and releasing all of the ghosts that they had caught over those years. That is a great premise because it allows you to release all of the old ghosts as well as ones that were caught in the time when you didn't see. And that would have just been a very... And then you just spend the rest of the movie chasing them down again and putting them in the new containment facility. I appreciate that. But this one, dumb. And also the horns and a whole other person that has to catch them, like other Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters from history. Like, what?
I mean, yeah. Look. Yes, there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on. I think what bothered me about the Arctic Blast Day After Tomorrow element of the plot is that the Arctic Blastness was intense enough to, like, immediately freeze over all physical surfaces without yep. actually harming any of the humans who were connected to any of those yep. surfaces, except if they specifically touched that specific thing.
Or absolutely reverse of the logic that it established at the start, which was if you were in the room with it, it would freeze everyone to death unless you were doing the chant from that person. Remember?
No, but the fire people can reverse it because yeah. that was explained in the animated bit.
Yeah. It's
the fire people could reverse
mean,
it.
You know, supernatural cold is an okay power, I guess. But, you know, part of this whole thing is that ghosts are supposed to be terrifying people and making, like, the whole thing was like, oh, it can, like, you know, you freeze because you get scared to death. You know, you're so afraid that you freeze.
Yeah.
And then that's a physical reaction. And it's like, okay, this is all fun. And the thing that shat me is they established that ghosts were scary. Because remember when they went to that cool new place, which was like the zoo, their ghost zoo, where they kept them to study them, which had yeah. basically like the trap thing around them, and then the power went out, and the fucking, there was a creepy ghost in there, which yeah. was terrifying. And I was like, finally, you're going to do a cool thing. Like, oh my God, what happens if they let everyone out of the ghost zoo? And then they just backed away from it.
Yeah.
You know? And this is the whole thing.
I was also really confused about the poltergeist. I thought it was trying to help them for a while there.
Yeah, like it was a bit, but that's kind of the great thing about it. It looked terrifying and you didn't know what it was doing. And it could have been great if it turned out that it was a helpful poltergeist. It just looked terrifying.
Oh, no, the terrifying looking ghost wasn't the poltergeist, though. They were different things.
Which one was the poltergeist you were talking about?
The red thing that goes into things.
Oh, the one that takes over things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, kind of could have wanted to play with people and stuff, and that's kind of yeah. fine too.
But, and then, like, it looked like it was, like, trying to destroy the thing that had the chant on it, and I was like, yeah. oh, like, the twist is going to be that this little thing is, like, actually trying to help them.
Yeah.
But then that wasn't it at all. It was yeah. just an excuse to pay off Finn Wolfhard's entire plot line.
Yeah, and then they made that easy to get around the whole thing by going, oh,
the possessor, sorry, not the poltergeist.
This whole thing is like, oh, this ghost that's trapped in this brass ball can actually control other ghosts and tell them what to do.
Yep.
So that's why they're scared of it, because it tells them what to do.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, well, this is all a bit boring. And also when that Carrick, what's its name? I can't remember. The eventual Garaka, that's right. When Garaka, you know, the freezy ghost finally gets out, they don't do anything. They just walk around and be cold.
Very, very slowly walks around.
Yeah.
And very, very slowly enters the firehouse. And very, very slowly kind of threatens to make things cold.
And very, very easily defeats proton packs until one of them gets slightly changed by a different
thing.
Why
one?
Because she had melted brass?
Yes, but why did she not do it to more than one of the proton packs?
I don't know. This is also the question that I wanted to ask is why did she cut down the fire pole and then it appeared later in the same scene? Remember when she hacksaws off the fire pole?
I tried to explain that away in my head because there was more than one fire pole in that scene. So I was like, maybe that was a different fire pole that I couldn't see.
It could.
Or maybe it was a different part of the fire pole.
Maybe you could try that one. But yeah, like there was a lot of weird kind of logic gaps in the entire, like it felt very rushed. But I mean, I think its most criminal offense to it is playing it way too safe. Just let her have her Casper moment.
I know, right? I was like, "Yay, we're gonna have a Patrick Swayze." But
yeah.
No, that was really disappointing.
Yeah, like,
oh, sweet, she's got a crush, but
yes, Phoebe and Melody can do this, and like you know, take a massive like. I mean, it's not like ghost relationships hadn't appeared in this before. And sure, it was 15, so it could be a little bit weird that you're doing stuff in this way. And also, sure, so nice way to commit suicide, technically, separating your spirit from your body.
Also, I was really confused there because it's like, I don't think it's been explained to us that this is something that this machine can do. Like,
no. Like, you know, oh, well, I mean, they did that. Have you gone on to human testing? And they're like, no, not yet. Like, that's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, but when she said that, I thought she meant like humans who are possessed, not like just taking humans' actual souls out of their bodies.
Yeah. And also, you know, other things too. You know, when they're studying all those ghosts, there's got to be ones that you can talk to and ask questions about, you know. It's just, yeah, and all of this, like this is part of the thing too, all of this is going on when you have these two movies, which are like old Ghostbusters, new Ghostbusters. They're having their own lives around
stuff. Rich Ghostbusters, poor Ghostbusters.
Yeah, rich Ghostbusters, poor Ghostbusters. That's why I'm kind of like, Winston, why did you not give any money to that fucking firehouse? I blame you for letting the containment unit explode. And I love the fact that when the containment unit did explode and it obviously released all of the ghosts that were in there, nothing is said about that.
End of film.
Yeah, end of film. And it's kind of like, okay, I can, unless they make another one, which is like, oh shit, all the ghosts got released and we have to put them all back now, you know, or if it's going to,
That'll be the series.
I'm terrified of another one coming out called Ghostbusters Inc. And then it's just like, it's franchise now and it's got, you know, a Ghostbuster is like a pest control person that you just call in and they're everywhere. Yes, and I'll say thank you, Predakenga, for reminding me that the drone trap, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
I like that.
Drone trap was cool.
That's all good, you know.
There were some cool things.
Yeah. There's cool ideas in there. That's kind of good. But yeah, it's just too much of, are we following the new Ghostbusters? Are we following the old Ghostbusters? There was nothing that the old Ghostbusters knew or did that would have made them stop, and there was nothing that the new Ghostbusters knew or did that would have made it stop, and I don't understand how they got out of that without dying.
Well, because of the setup and the payoff, Dion. That's how.
The setup because
and the payoff.
Skybeam.
No, because Magic Match.
Oh, the Magic Match. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shit. It's just shit. I was bored.
Look, I see it. I get it. You knew as soon as you saw the matchbook that there was going to be some payoff involving the matchbook. Yeah.
But I mean, there was just nothing alluded to it that made it worthwhile anyway. And also, why? I'm with you right now. But why would you have the new Ghostbusters and the old Ghostbusters and they weren't able to stop anything? It was a whole two new characters are the only reason that they could stop everything.
Yes, without the whole two new characters.
Exactly.
They would just all be dead and the entire world destroyed.
While I really like the idea of the horn sort of things on Garaka, like I kind of liked that, and that was a horrific moment when it reinserted the horns into the head kind of stuff. Like, that's kind of cool. But in the end, that was way too easy. It's like, oh, this really powerful. If he gets a hold of the horns, it's like, okay, so keep the fucking horns away from that thing. Like,
just leave them there.
No, leave them there. Like, that could have been a whole chase to, like, that could have explained why he didn't go straight for the ghost containment facility. You know,
what I don't get is why, if Melody's entire thing was like she wants to like be with her family, in order to be with her family, she's, you know, kind of got to move on. And then Phoebe's like, oh shit, I've seen that happen. She didn't go, oh, how did that happen? What did the person have to do in order to move on? Just like zero questions. Yep, I'm definitely going to go with the evil mind controlling ghost on this.
Yeah. Like, I also like the fact that, you know, Phoebe being, you know, very well established as, you know, perhaps not the greatest emotional person, is very intelligent, wouldn't have just looked up that person's death and figured out all of the stuff around it and then gone, well, I saw that you, you know, burned to death in a fire and these are the people that said it. And if you wanted to do that, we can make sure that they go to jail and then you could have moved on.
Yeah.
But no, she's more like, no, I want you to play chess and you know.
Wait, I was reading that, like, that she set the fire.
Were you?
That was what I was reading, and that's why she didn't go with them.
Oh.
Well, because she had the match, the, like, last match that was the match that lit the fire.
Oh, okay.
But no, it wasn't actually explained. That was just an assumption that I made, that it was an accidental.
Sure.
So that's why she's not moved on.
I think by that stage I was just getting character exhaustion. I was like, I saw too many, you know, in there. And I got super excited when I, like, the Slimer was still in the top of the, you know, firehouse, and then nothing happened with that.
I love that Predakanga has made all of the same false assumptions about the plot as I have. That the possessor's going to be friendly, right. That Melody lit the fire.
Amazing. See, this is good. This is the connections that you're drawing together that I've seen. They're going, no, like, more jokes, please. You know, all of these characters are a delight. You know, they were all lovely. I like seeing them all. Even the, you know, library ghost was still there, but I was like, oh, they just, it felt like they just used the same thing. It's like, hey, remember this scare that we did? We're doing it again. And it's like, oh, come on. Like, that's very lazy.
Yeah.
I like
they're still trying to pull that nostalgia cord, but I think that, you know, they needed to get the nostalgia audience on board with the first one. They didn't need to do that to maintain them for the second one.
Yeah. I mean, there's heaps of nice little nods and stuff in there, like having the ooze cannon or the slime cannon that was in the testing lab when they came in, you know, shooting, you know, pink slime at people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all those kinds of things were great. I would have loved it had they, like, had just a picture of Viggo the Carpathian up in the side and just been like, hey, there he is. You know, all of those kinds of things would have been great. Mm. But, yeah, I feel like they pull back too much from that. Yeah, very upset that they didn't at least give the Casper kiss away.
Well, it felt very queer-baity by the end of it.
You know, I know that there was a bunch of other stuff in there and chucking in Janine and Bill Murray. You know, all of those kind of stuff was just like, this feels very fan service-y, just like the first one. But at least that one, I was like, oh, yay, they came back and that's okay. And now we can finally say goodbye to them and we're allowed to move on. And this one, they came back again at the end. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, we did this, you know, and we've spent the whole thing the whole movie establishing that we don't need to keep following those characters around. And then you bring them all back at the end and they don't service anything. Which might, why it made me kind of angry. But then some people had a lot of fun with it and thought that it was great and it touched on amazing things and it did really good work. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't have a villain. There isn't really any drama in this. You thought that there would be, but there was no scary ghost. Like,
I agree with you that the concept of the way it was explained is much scarier than the way it was playing out, you know?
Yeah.
Freezing to death from fear is like a terrifying idea, but instead, like, it was just literal ice. Like, that's not like, it was just literal ice. Like, it obviously wasn't people freezing to death from their own fear.
No. Like, I mean, that could be great.
I mean, that's been done. I'm trying to remember what that's been done in.
Yeah.
It's been done in something.
Oh, The Ring. Remember that one? The Ring? The Ring,
I mean,
movie?
I remember
Ring?
The Yes, I do remember The Ring.
Yeah, when Sadako, the ghost, comes and scares people to death and they just die in what looks like contorted agony.
Oh,
that can be done. It can be done that way. Or even if it looks like people are terrified or running away from something or they just can't get away, rather than just very slowly freezing to death.
I see, Casper. I think I'm thinking about a Supernatural episode as well.
Yeah, well, that's Supernatural's not a very good show and we don't like it here.
I mean, Dion, we did an entire Friday night study of Supernatural during lockdown.
Yeah, but you haven't even watched all the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies.
I mean, let's get into that, shall we?
Yes, on Golden Pond.
Oh, if only Quinny were here, we could give him shit about Parks and Recreation and The Sound of Music.
Yes, well, I mean, we just give him shit anyway because he couldn't even make it. He hasn't even seen it. I mean, this is part of the thing. We can't talk like this if Critty was around because he would lose his mind. I'm actually quite scared that he's going to go and see it and then come out and be like, it's terrible. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry, buddy. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it was so hard to just shut up about it. But, you know, he might come out and think it's amazing and then I'll be able to argue with him.
Like about it. It's not 100% terrible all the way through. It's got problems, but there's lots to like about it as well.
Yeah, this was, it's really likable. I wanted to follow the new Ghostbusters around. I really liked and enjoyed that sort of stuff. You know, even the old new Ghostbusters, like, you know, the Zedmore Foundation doing that stuff. That's a whole separate thing. It's just all together. It's too much. Maybe that's just how it explains
it. Well, Casper in the chat is just saying it's a second screen movie, and unfortunately I think that's kind of true.
Yeah,
it is entertaining. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's not angering except for the queer baiting.
massive.
You know.
Massive.
that tends to be a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer.
But, you know, all in all, it's fine. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they were going for probably more, like, that's probably insulting to the filmmakers who probably were aiming for more than fine and entertaining.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's, like, okay for a movie just to be entertaining. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Frozen Narrative, more like it.
It's so mean.
I mean, it's just, yeah, like, I suppose, yeah, this is the kind of thing. It's reached an infight. It's going to need a really good hit to thaw it out now to just kind of get it back to something that is, yeah, I feel like it has hit a barrier after this one that I'm like, okay, you're going to have to make a choice here. You're going to have to try and figure out what's going on.
I reckon there's going to be a TV series. I reckon some of those characters were being set up for a TV series. My prediction.
Sure. As long as they don't do them wrong and they, like, if they do them right and stop, you know, backing off, I mean, put the pedal down, you know, get in that Ecto-1 and floor it and drive it like you stole it, because that's what we want from Ghostbusters. I want a ride that's slightly scary and a lot more fun and willing to take some chances. To give me a jolt. I want to feel that. And I didn't feel it with this. I didn't feel like I was scared to death. I felt like it was too safe.
I mean, it's still a comedy, dude.
Yeah, but still.
It's still a family comedy.
Is it, though? Because,
like, I feel like you've been watching too many of Jill's films.
Look at the first one. No, I don't need a dark, gritty reboot of the Ghostbusters. You don't have to have that, but you can have an adult-themed, this is a comedy that has some scary moments in it that is actually like, oh, you don't know, there's got to be a bit of peril, you know?
True, but I do feel like this reboot has been set up as a more family-focused version of it, given that half of the main characters are children.
In the first one, like, free Jake Sigourney Weaver. Come on. It's still a comedy. You still laughed, you know. In this one, it was just like, oh, people got very cold. The end. And potentially were attacked by a giant lion that everyone knew was never going to be able to do anything. Yes, this is a character who's definitely going to be here for the rest of the film. Too safe. Should have killed podcast in that one. That would have made it go hard.
We do not need a dark reboot of anything else.
No, we don't need a
Speaking
dark
of reboot. Reboots, Casper wants to know when we're talking about X-Men 97.
Well, isn't it good that we have been discussing the schedule for next month? And I believe X-Men 97 is on that. But there's also a lot of things. There are, like, for next month, for April, there are five Tuesdays again. So we're not doing what? Five, we're doing four. We're doing four Tuesdays. And so we're going to start off at the second next week. But the 23rd is not happening. That Tuesday is out. But I can tell you that one. There's a spoiler for you. So yeah, we're only doing four. And I don't know exactly what it is, but we'll get the homework up very soon because it's almost the end of the month and it's going to be holidays. And, you know, you should... if I
creeps up on us, that one.
Yeah, but I mean, also, like, if I get the homework released, you know, soon, then everyone has Easter to be able to, like, get out amongst it and watch it. And then we'll do... Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Pritikanga. Yes, Three Body Problem was on that list because I've already seen, like, four episodes of it.
That is a watcher, though. I tried to start watching it on the weekend. My attention wasn't in it. Yeah, you gotta actually have eyes on screen.
I think that one will be polarizing. And then I think, is it tomorrow? Wait, just let me check my calendar. Oh, yes. Monkey what? Versus Lizard.
What?
Monkey versus Lizard.
Yeah.
Come on, Peter. Monkey versus Lizard.
Yeah. I watched One Day series. Well, I watched the appropriate amount of the One Day series. I feel like the correct way to watch that is to stop at a very particular point.
Yeah. Yes, and Castle Shogun is good. I'm watching that as well, so that's been quite fun. yeah, I might throw that one in there too. I've written a list. I'll put it up. We'll get the schedule up as soon as we can, and then we'll go. So, yeah. All right. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for spending the money and going to see Ghostbusters at vast expense to the management. Yeah, and look, you know, if you can hold off for Ghostbusters, just watch it on streaming. You'll probably have a nice time. You know, big bowl of popcorn, bathroom breaks whenever you feel like it. Someone that we did watch it with went out and actually stood up and went, I'm going to the bathroom, announced it, and then just walked out. And then came back, and it's like, didn't even ask if they missed anything. They're like, it's fine, I don't care. I was like, it's fair cop. Nothing much happened. Kind of like, yep, yeah, oh, I can go to the bathroom now. Thanks, everyone. All right. Amazing. Thanks, chat.
Thanks for hanging out, everyone.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. Yeah.
Bye.
Who you gonna call? I can't hear you. Who you gonna call?
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.